Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is daf Lamites and Meseches Brachos, the 38th daf in Shas. We pick up on the last line on Lamiches and Mebeis, a new topic, a fascinating one. Arle Rebbe Yirmiyah le Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Yochanan, Heichin Mevarech al Zayis Meliach. The Gemara had told us earlier on Lamiches and Mebeis that Rebbe Yochanan had made a bracha on a salted. There was a discussion in the Gemara of what bracha he had made. Either it was a shahakal or a bari priya eitz. See yesterday's shir. But the Gemara here talks about another shir, and that is the measurement. How could he have made a bracha on zayis meliach? Kiven the shakli the garine batzer le shiura. Once you remove a pit from an olive, then you've eaten less than a shir for a bracha. Both Rashi and Tosas explicitly, Rashi implicitly, explain that the Gemara's question is in regards to the bracha achrona. In regards to a bracha rishona, so then in such a case, we make a bracha rishona, as Tosas points out from the Gemara, Lamed Hei, Amid Aleph, that it's asur lenos bolam azebli bracha, whether it's a shiur or not. But in regards to Peros Ha'aretz, Rashi says, and Peros Ha'aretz, Rashi's language is Meduyak, is the bracha achrona of Aloetz, Al Peros Ha'aretz. So then in such a case, one needs a shear. Says the answers the Gemara, Amale Misavit Kezayis Gadol Be'inan. Who says you need a large Kezayis? Kezayis Be'inani Be'inan. An average size Zayis. So if the flesh of the olive is the average size Zayis without the pit, in such a case, then one gets a bracha achrona. Be'ezras Hashem, in the halacha section, we will go through the rest of the Tosfos on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskel Batzlei Shiur.
Rahu Da'isa the Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, and this olive was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara continues three lines from the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph.
Zayis Godol Havit was a large olive. The Afagav the Shaklua the Garanuse Poshle Shiure. That even if you take out the pit, nevertheless, there's still large enough shear to make a bracha. The snan, as we learned in a Mishnah. Zayis sha'amru, a zayis, when we speak about a shear, loy katam v'lo gadol eila beinani. We're not talking about a large one, nor a small one. Rather, we're talking about a middle-sized one. V'zehu aguri. And this is known as the zayis, the olive of guri. V'amr Rabbi Avo, lo aguri shmo el avruti shmo. Called Avruti. V'amilot Samruti Shmo. V'lamar Nikra Shmo Aguri. Why is it called Aguri? Sheshmano Agur Besocho. That its oil is packed or is latent inside of it. Aguri or Agur Besocho has the connotation that the olive is almost like a packet that holds the oil. Rashi explains that's different than fruit, where the flesh of the fruit has the juice absorbed inside of it. Here, the juice is encased by the olive, but it's sitting inside, similar to the idea, Rashi says, of grapes. The Gemara continues, 10 lines on the top. Name a kitanoi. Let us say that what we said above is the machlokes tanoi. The hani trei talmidi, daviyasa kamed bar kapara. There were two students who were in front of kapara, bar kapara. Heviu lefanov. Kruv udrumuskin. They brought in front of him cabbage and prunes. Upargia, a type of bird's meat. Interestingly, today, in modern Hebrew, pargiot is associated with bird food because it is a part of chicken. Nasa bar kapara rishus lechem en levar. Bar kapara gave one of the Talmidim the opportunity to make a bracha. Kavatu baruch al pargiot. He first made the bracha on the basar. Ligle v'alav chero. His friends made fun of him and protested. We will not explain yet why his friends made fun of it. We will let the Gemara develop the story. Cause bar kapara. Bar kapara got upset. I'm not upset at the one who made the bracha, but those who have made fun of him.
Tom,
Atam, Maybe the reason why your friend chose to bless first on the meat is because he had never tasted meat before, and it was something special and unique. And for that reason, because of its chashivos to him, he went and made bracha first. Chazar ve'omar bar kapara then continued, and he changed his criticism, and he said, we'll see later on in the marsha why exactly he changed. Lo alam elagmeg anikos, el alam avarech anikos. I'm not upset at the one who made fun, but rather the mevarech. Va'amar, and he said, im chachma ein kan, zikne ein kan. Kapara is expressing that there was no chachma and zikna on behalf of the mevarech. Rashi explains that Bar Kapara was a zaken, and he was critical of the mevarech that the mevarech should have asked what the halacha was, and the expression is that if there's no chachma, he had made the mistake. That's also a siman that he wasn't the zaken to take the matter on his own, and he should have asked the shaila. The Maharsha explains that Bar Kapara was critical on both accounts, both on the malag leg as well as the mevarech. Originally, says the Maharsha, first he was angry at the malag leg because at the end of the day, the mevarech had received rishus from Bar Kapara. If he had received rishus, so then it was almost as if Bar Kapara had said, go ahead, make the bracha that you think is correct. In contrast to the malag leg was being critical of him. Who are they to be critical? That was considered mora halacha b'fnei rabo. According to the Maharsha, the liglag, the malag leg then explained himself and said, no, he was being critical because he didn't ask the shaila. So if that's so, so then the only criticism that Bar Kapara has is on the Mevarech. Why did the Mevarech not ask the Shaila as well? The Gemara concludes with a scary conclusion. Utsnatana Ushnehem Lohoitsiyu. Both of them did not finish their year. They passed away within the year. Lohoitsiyu Shnasan. Says the Gemara, my lav ba'akamithli, what was behind this machlokis? The Mevarech Savar, the Mevarech thought Shlako Supirgio Shakuni Bidvaro. Hilka Chaviv Adiv. He thought that both Shlakos and Prigios get a shackle, because he follows the opinion that we had learned earlier, that quote in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Shlakos get a shackle. Umelag like Savar Shlakos Bar Priyadam, Prigios Shakuni Bidvaro. Hilka Pira Adiv. He should have made the bracha on the Pri beforehand. Maybe that's the pshat in the machlokes. Says the Gemara, "Lo, no." The kulei alma shlokos and prigios shakuni b'dvara. Everybody agrees that shlokos and prigios get a shahakol. V'acha b'hai sar kamiflagi. But rather, there was another machlokes. Mar savar chorev adif, umar savar kruv adif design. One thought, since the prigios are his favorite, is chaviv, so he should make the bracha first. And one said that kruv comes first because it is filling. In contrast to prigios, it's not as healthy, and therefore the bracha should go on the kruv, that's what should get the bracha, because it is filling. The Gemara goes on to the next topic, see Tosis and Dibra Maskel Chaviv Adif for the Halacha Lamaisa discussion. Maybe we'll discuss it as well in the Halacha section of how do we decide which one chooses to make the bracha on. Do we follow Chaviv Adif, Zayin Adif, etc. The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Zera ki avinam be Rav Huna. Rav Zera says, when I was in the yeshiva of Rav Huna, Amar lu hani gargilidi delifsa, these turnip heads, parminu prima rabba, if they're cut into large pieces, bore priha dama, then it gets a bracha of bore priha dama. Parminu zuta, prima zuta, if it's cut into small pieces, so then, in such a case, Rashi explains that this had been held griusa, that it was lowering down its status. So then again, Shako Nia Bitzvaro. V'chi asan lebe Rav Yehuda amelan, but when they came to Yeshiva Rav Yehuda, he said, no, it doesn't lower it down. Idi v'idi bar priyadama, both get a bar priyadama. V'haydi praminu tfei, this that they cut it down to very small pieces, kehecha denamptik tamayi, it makes it taste sweeter. It seems that when they would eat it in smaller pieces, it tasted sweeter. So the above man amr holds, that when you cut it down, when you make a griusa, it goes down level of bracha to shahako. But if it's not going to go down in level, then of course it retains its original bracha of borei pri ha'adama.
The Gemara continues, Amar Ravashi ki avinu bei Rav Kahana. Ravashi says that when he was at the yeshiva of Kahana, Amar lon, they said, Tavshila de silka de lo mavshi ba kimcha borei pri ha'adama. The dish of beets that doesn't have a lot of flour in it, so then it retains its bracha borei pri ha'adama. Delifsa, however, turnips seem to have been made differently. Demavshiba kimcha tfei, that has a lot more flour inside of it, borei mine mezainis. In such a case, the bracha is a mezainis. However, he was chayzer. V'hadar omar idividi borei pri ha'adama. Even turnips get ha'adama. And the fact that they put in a lot of flour into the turnips doesn't change the bracha. They do it only for devek, to hold the dish together to make it more consistent, but it's not there to be added for taste at all. This is consistent with the position that we've seen of Tosos on Daf Lamid Vavam Abeis, where Taisa says that even though we say that anytime you have a mezonis inside, even if the mezonis is the minority, nevertheless, we say, that's only if it's not being used as a binder. It's being used as an ingredient that's there to have the taste. Here also, it's not there to have the taste, hence it's Adama. Amar Rav Chisda, 12 lines from the bottom of Lama Testament Aleph, Tashil Shel Trodin. Trodin was another word for beets. Good food. It's good for the heart, it's good for the eyes, and it's certainly good for the intestines. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Vuhu di Yosiv Avi Tippi. It's on the condition that when it was made, it was sitting on the edge of the pot. V'avid toch toch. And it makes the sound of toch toch. That means that when it's cooked, it becomes really, really hot and soft, and the heat is so pervasive that a hissing sound emits from the pot. Amar Pav of Shitali, it's pashut to me, Mayi Silka Kisilka, the juice of the beets have the halacha bar priyadama. Umayi delifsa kilifsa, and the juice of the turnips get the bracha of turnips. Umayi de kula shalki ki kula shalki, like we had learned earlier, that it retains the bracha. Yesterday's shir, we had a machlokes between, in the halacha shir, we had a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush. Why that's so? According to the Rush, it's because one intends to improve the vegetable, while according to the Rambam, it's because one intends to drink the taste that emanates from the vegetable. Ayin Sham Nafkaminas. 8 lines from the bottom. Boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa asks the following shy. Maya de Shifta. The excess water from dill. May. What's halacha? Limtuke taimo avdi. Do people use the juice of dill to add taste? Ola vure saha zuama avdi. Or the reason why they added the juice from the dill is just to remove any bad odors from the food. And if that would be so, then the bracha would not be adam, it would be a shahako. Toshma. Hasheves, when it comes to the dill, mishinas natan b'kedera, the moment it's given over taste in the kedera, ein ba mishum truma, it doesn't have its status of truma. Ve'ena metama tuma sochlim, it's not even metama tuma sochlim, it doesn't contract tuma like ochlim does. Why? Because Rashi explains, the entire significance of the food of dill is its taste, and when it's cooked, its taste is expunged from the actual dill itself into the item that it's cooked in, into the kedera. Hence, it's considered just like wood, says Rashi, and therefore it's not subject to truma, nor is it considered ochel. So what do we see? Shema mino lemtuke taima avilo. Shema mino, we see that the dill is there to give off taste, and hence, Rav Papa's original shaila was, will it give water its bracha of adama? And the answer is absolutely yes. The Gemara, 4 lines at the bottom, continues. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, pas tznuma b'ka'ara mevarchin aleha hamoitzi. Rashi says that pas tznuma is dried bread that was put onto a plate to absorb
Tsunuma is a hard piece of bread. The best way of describing it today in modern Hebrew, it's something similar to this, is toast. It's a hardened piece of bread that's still eaten, that's used to absorb. So, food. Rashi also adds that tsunamos, aside from being hard, were also thin, hard pieces that were removed from the larger piece of bread. So, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi says that it gets hamotzliak, like a regular piece of bread. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya, and disagrees with Rabbi Chiya. Damar Rabbi Chiya, tzarech shetichla bracha im hapas. Rabbi Chiya argues that berchas hamotzliak has to coincide with the breaking from the large piece of bread, the prusa, this piece, min hapas. And therefore, since one cannot do it, that's a simen, that's not bread. That's one of the conditions, according to Rabbi Chiya, for Amotzi. Maskev la Rava, Rava asked the following question. Maisha tznuma delo, mishum dechi kalya bracha, aprusa ka kalya. Alapas nami, kika gamra, aprusa gamra. At the end of the day, Rava says, at the end of the bracha, isn't a piece broken off? Now Rava answers his own question. Elo ma Rava, no. Mivarech, you complete the bracha, v'acha kach potzea. So at the moment that the bracha of Hamotzi is completed, one still has a loaf in one's hand. Afterwards, you break. When it comes to tzinuma, you already have a broken piece in your hand. Nahardah avdi k'Rabbi Chiya. Nahardah did as was quoted from Rabbi Chiya, that they would break at the conclusion of the bracha itself. Rabbanan avdi k'Rava, and Rabbanan followed Rava, that would break after the bracha was entirely complete. Amar Ravina, Ravina taught, Amri li, my mother told me, Avucha avid k'Rabbi Chiya. Your father did like Rabbi Chiya, that he broke with the conclusion of the Hamotzi. Dan Rabbi Chiya, tzar shetich lebracha im apas, that you need to conclude the bracha with the breaking of the bread. Rabban avdi k'Rav, and the Rabban did like Rav, Hilchas k'Rav, da'amem mevarech, v'achakach botzeya, that the halach is, you're supposed to break the bread only after you've concluded the bracha. The Gemara continues a new subject, continuing though on the topic of Kedima Bebrachos, with an entirely new issue. Six lines from the top, Itmar. Hivi lefneim psisin ushlemin. A person has two pieces of bread in front of him. One is a loaf, and the other being a broken piece. Which one should he make a bracha on? Amar Ravuna, mevarech al psisin upoiter es hashlemin. Ravuna says he should make a bracha on the broken one, and thereby exempt the one that is whole. Rashi explains that the position of Rav Huna is the following. If the broken piece is larger than the whole piece, then he should make a bracha on the broken larger piece. If it's not larger than the whole piece, then he can make a bracha on either one. But Rav Huna says largeness is the most important factor. Rav Yochanan Amar, he disagrees. Shleima mitzvah min amufchar. The mitzvah of minamut, the ideal mitzvah, is from the complete piece. We're going to see in the Gemara later on what is behind their machlokas. Al prusa shel chitin ushleima minas ta'orin. However, says the Gemara, if there is a piece of wheat and another piece which is of barley being a more inferior type of bread, divrei hakol mevarech al prusa shel chitin. Everybody agrees that you make a bracha on the piece of wheat. And thereby exempt the bread of barley from a bracha. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Abba Kitanoi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Abba suggests that this machlokes to Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan is really subject to a machlokes tanoim. Tarmin batzel katan shalem avlochatsi batzel gadol. A batzel is an onion. The first opinion of the Mishnah in Trumas, Perek Beis Mishnah Hay, is that if you have the opportunity to take off truma from either a whole small onion or half of a large one, so the Tanakhama says take from the whole one even though it's smaller. Rav Yehuda Amar Loi Ki Ela Chetzi Batzel Gadol. Rav Yehuda says you go to the larger and take the half of the onion. My Lav Bahai Kamiflagi. Let us suggest that this Machlokes Tanoim revolves around the following Chakira. What's better? Something that is more choshev, in other words, it is larger, and therefore, in terms of value, it has a greater value. It's more distinguished. Or the fact that it's complete. Continues the Gemara and explains that this machlokes tanoim is only in a particular circumstance. Where there is a kohen, so everybody agrees that the kohen would prefer the larger one. Ki pligi the leka kohen. The machlokes is where there is no kohen. It's not kol makom sheish kohen toyrim min hayafim, kol makom sheein kohen toyrim min hamiskayim. When a kohen is around, then you take from the best one. When there isn't a kohen, so then you take from the one that's going to last one longer. Clearly, a shalem is going to last longer. Rav Yehuda Amar Ein Tarim El Minyaf. Rav Yehuda says you always choose the best one. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak V'Yirei Shemayim Yatzeh De Shneihem. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that in regards to our machlokas, which the Gemara had suggested when there is no kohen, then there is a machlokas tanoim by truma. And we had a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, whether the shalem is adif or the chashiv is adif. Concludes the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, this machlokas from Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan is only a disagreement if you have to choose between the two. What happens if you try to fulfill both of them? Say, Yirei Shamayim Yotzi De Shnehem, Vil Bi Yotzei, both of them. How will it be yotzi both of them? Umanu, and who this that did it this way? Mar Brei Ravina, the Mar Brei Ravina, Meniach Prusa B'toch HaShlema U'Botzeya. He would place a broken one within the large one and break. Rashi explains that he would then leave it up to chance. Either both of them would break, or he would end up only breaking the larger one, but he won't end up choosing between the two. Fate, if you will choose between the two. Tani Tana Kamedra of Nachma Yitzchak. Meniach Apruzat HaShlema U'Botzeya U'Mevarech. The suggestion here as well is to break from both of them. Amalei Mashimecha. So they said to this Tana, who had quoted this in front of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, particularly Rav Nachman Yitzchak questioned this Tana, what's your name? What is your name when you the fellow who suggests this? Amalei Shalom. He said, my name is Shalom. Ah, so Rav Nachman responds, Ato Shlema Mishnasech. Shlema. Amalei Shalom Ata. You are Shalom. Ushlema Mishnasech. Shesamta Shalom Bein HaTalmidim. You placed peace between the Talmidim, because there you said, don't choose, try to be Yotzei, Kol Adeus. 8 lines from the bottom, Amar Papa, Kol Moedim Pesach. We have this idea by Pesach as well, when it comes to Moitzi Matzah, Shemeiniach, Prusa V'Toch Shlema U'Botzei. You take the broken one, the middle one from Yachat, you put it next to the upper one, and you break both of them. Maitaim Alechem Oniksiv. What's the reason for this? The reason you have a broken one? Because the Torah describes the matzah as a poor man's bread, lechemoni, and therefore we're botzeya as well from a prusa. Amar Rabbi Abba, u'b'Shabbos chayav adam l'tzal shtei kikaros. Rabbi Abba claims on Shabbos a person is supposed to cut both chalas. My time of lechem mishnah says lechem mishnah that on Shabbos we collected a double lechem, hence to be botzeya from both pieces of bread. Amar Rashi chazin le Rav Kahana did not get tarti u'botzeya chada. Rav Yashi reports that Rav Kahana was not machmer on this, and he only cut one. Rabbi Zera avibotza akula sheirusa. Rabbi Zera would break one large piece of bread. Rashi says that would suffice for the whole Shabbos. Amar le Ravina le Rav Yashi v'kamis chazakar k'rav senusa. But it looks like you're a very hungry person. Rav senusa is a negative thing in Chazal of an individual. Recording Suis Sadivava Mebeis, an individual who eating in a very rushed, hungry manner, as if he's bera'av. Chazal looked down on that because it looks like he can't control himself. So says Ravina, this is not the style that Chazal looked up to. Amalek, even the call Yamalo Kavit Achli, since in general I eat in a modest fashion, va'idna Kavit, and today I'm showing as a special day, I'm cutting off a very big piece, Lomis Chazik Karav Sanusa, it doesn't look as if I'm hungry, but rather my intention is to show Kavod for Shabbos. Ravami Ravasi Kamisramila Rivsa Daruva, when they received the bread of the Erev, that means the bread of the Eruve Chatzeros. The Mishan Erevin tells us that it's prohibited to carry within courtyards of many different houses as a Takana Midrabban and Takana of Shlomo Amelech. And in order to be able to carry, we need to make ourselves one large mishpacha by sharing bread, that everybody is allowed to eat this bread, and therefore everybody really lives in the same house, and there aren't independent houses. It's one community. If Klal Yisrael joins together, Bali Machshava speak about this, about the idea of Erev, that Klal Yisrael joins together on Shabbos, so then in such a case they're allowed to carry because they're one large mishpacha in the chatzer. That the way in which we do it is with this bread that each person gives, which becomes part of the Aruva Chatzeros or someone else's Zocha on their behalf. So the Aruva Mevarchal Amosecha Aretz, they used to take the bread of the Erev that wasn't going to be used anymore for an Erev for the next week. We generally leave it for a full year. We use matzah. But in those days, if you used bread, you would only get it for a week or two. They would eat it afterwards, and they would eat it for their lechem mishnah. Amar, they said, hol v'savd ba mitzvah chada, since it was used for one mitzvah, na'ave be mitzvah achrita, let's use it for another mitzvah as well. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes daf lamed tes in Maseches Brachos. We now Be'ezer Hashem go to the halacha section. Be'ezer Hashem, our halacha topic for today from daf lamed tes, is a beautiful one, which emerges from the Tosis, the Bar Maskil Batzali Shiura, and that is the subject of Shiur for Bracha Achrona, particularly in what's called a Beria. Tosis points out in Lamed Tes Amud Aleph that the Gemara raises the possibility that one does not make a Bracha Achrona, and this is how we paskin on something that is less Shiur HaKizayis. Tosis actually raises the possibility that when it comes to bar nefashos, maybe one does not need a shear, and the Bali Tosis reject it and say even for bar nefashos, one needs a shear. Then Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, whose approach to the Gemara is different than what we have in the Bavli. Specifically, our Bavli had said that the way in which one would make a bracha achrona on one olive is if it's a large olive and minus its pith, it would still have the shear of an average zayis. Tosis points out that the Yerushalmi gives a different teretz. The Yerushalmi says that the reason why it gets a bracha achrona is because it's a beria. Now the concept of beria is found in Kol HaTorah Kula. For example, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that when it comes to the Isser of Macholos Asuros, for example, when it comes to the prohibition of eating a sheretz, which the Mishnah in Makos delineates could be as much as 4, 5, 6, 7 Isurim in the Torah, if it is a beria, a living entity by itself, one would be over the yisur even if it's less than the shear. Hence, when it comes to the halachos of insects, there one has to be concerned for the yisur to arise to the yisur of lav, even if it's much less than the kezayis, as long as it's a beria. See Sefer Shalmi Nisan that argues that the rules of beria when it comes to brachos might be different on some level from the halachos of kashrus, but for our purposes, they work in a very similar fashion. Answers the Yerushalmi. The reason why he made a bracha on the zayis was because Rabbi Yochanan was choshesh that when it comes to a beria, so then it has its own status, its own chashivus, and it does not need a shiur in order to be chayiv in bracha. Tosas is unsure whether Yerushalmi agrees or disagrees with our Bavli. If you learn that the Bavli was talking, says Tosas, where the pit was removed, so then in such a case, then there isn't even a machlokus between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says you need a shear because it's longer a barrier, the original way was made because the pit was removed. But if the pit was not removed, so then in such a case, then it gets a bracha achrona, even if it's less than a shear. How do we paskin lahalacha? The Mechaber in Simin Reish Yud, Sif Aleph, codifies the rule of our Gemara that one needs a shear for a bracha achrona. And then he discussed the halachos of beria. Ha'ochel pochos mikizayis, says the Mechaber, Reish Yud, Sif Aleph, Be'mi pas, be'mi shar oichlim, V'hashoyse pachos merevius b'miyayin b'mishar mashkim. So the amount is the size of an olive. For food item, it's a kezayis, and for liquids, it's a revius. Continues the mechaber. If it's less than that, v'hashoyse pachos merevius b'miyayin b'mishar mashkim mevarech tchila bracha roi lalo samin. Beforehand, make appropriate bracha if it's less than a shear. Ula'acharav einu mevarech klal. As our Gemara said, if it's less than a shear, it does not get a bracha achrona. Unlike the position of Tosas that said possibly a bar nefashos, you do make on less than a shear, we paskin not that way. V'yesh mistapkim lomar, continues mechaber, shal dover shu kibriyoso. Something that is as it was created, kegon gargir shel anav, like a grape, Osho Rimon, or a pit of a pomegranate, Shemvarchin la'achav afal pi shem bo kezayis, l'chei, l'kach, nochon lizor, shelo le'echol ber yapachos mi kezayis. So therefore, the Mechaber concludes that people are not aware about this, that when reading a pomegranate, so then in such a case, one has a suffix by simply eating one seed that has a din of a beria, and therefore would require a separate bracha achrona, even if it's less than a shear, and therefore one should be careful to eat a shear. Now, what exactly qualifies as a beria? So over here, the Rama takes a stand, and we will review some of the basic shitas harishonim. Hagah, v'lo mikri beria ela im achlo kemo shehu. When is it considered a beria? When you eat it the way it is. Aval im lakach hagarin mimenu. But if the pit is taken out, lo mikri beria, it's not considered a beria. In other words, according to the Rama, and this is how the Mishnah Brura explains it, it's only considered a beria if you've eaten the entire fruit, including its pit. If you do not eat its pit, then it's no longer considered a beria. Now this applies even if the fruit has a pit, which is not what most people would call edible. For example, an olive. Most people today do not eat the pit inside of an olive. For that reason, when it comes to an olive, there's no problem of beria because you throw out the pit. You have to eat the whole pit. The Mishnah Brura gives one exception to that rule, and that is, he quotes the Magen Avraham and the Elyo Rabbah, what happens if the outer pit is not edible, but every once in a while there are pits that its internal part of the pit is edible. So you have the fruit, you eat the fruit, and then there is a shell around the pit, and the inside of the pit is edible. So then in such a case, it would retain its beria status, and then one should be careful so as not to fall into the Machlokes Rishonim, which revolved around the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, whether we accept the answer of the Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha achrona because it's a beria, which the Shulchan Aruch says is a suffix, at the end of the day, if the pit is eaten, then in such a case we have a suffix in regards to bracha achrona. It would seem, according to my Rebbe Rav Nevensal, in his Ha'ara, I did not discuss this with him, in Simon Reish Yud, that raisins would also fall into the above problem, and hence one should be machmir misafik. Is a raisin considered a beria? Of course, if the raisins were made when we know that its pits were removed, so then in such a case it definitely would not be considered a beria. But what about a raisin that is made from grapes where its pit is still in there? On the other hand, its entity has very much been changed. So Rav Nevensal is mesupak, whether it has a din of a beria, and what would emerge, according to his position, one should be machmir to eat a shear of that food. Again, when it comes to a pomegranate, there everybody agrees that one should be machmir to eat a shear, because it could be by eating one seed, you already be chayiv, according to the Yerushalmi, in a bracha vachrona. Bracha achrona because halacha beria. Even though it is a machlokis rishonim, nevertheless, the Mishnah Brura also makes another point in beria that's important, and that is beria is pure beria. Writes the Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan Ches of Reish Yud, that if the Beria lost a small amount to it, even the smallest amount, it loses its identity of Beria, and then there is no suffix in regards to Bracha. This is a Machlokis Rishonim, the Shalmei Nisan Simen Mem Vav claims, and he gives the Omek, the depth of what he thinks is the Machlokis, but for our purpose, for Hilchos Brachos, again for Yaradeh, it might be a different discussion, the Halacha is that it doesn't have a suffix of Beria. This Bezer Hashem concludes the Halachos of Beria. Our next topic for today emerges from the Gemara on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and that is the way in which one is supposed to be botseya or cut bread on Shabbos for Lechem Mishnah. Let's remind ourselves what the Gemara said, seven lines from the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Rabbi Abba said on Shabbos, Chayiv Adam Leftsoa Al Shtei Kikaros, a person needs to, literally, the best way to translate Leftsoa means to break bread on two loaves. The Gemara says, why? The Gemara says, because we have a Gzeiras HaKosav of Lechem Mishnah. The Gemara then recounts that Rav Ashi saw Rav Kahana that took two loaves of bread, but he broke only on one of them. The Gemara then recounts that Rav Zeira was Botseya, and here we're going to have a big machlokis of what exactly Rav Zeira did. In the Daf, we described Rav Zeira according to Rashi. However, we will see that there is a big machlokis Rishonim, as well as the machlokis halacha lemaisa, how one is supposed to cut the loaves of bread. Rav Zeira have a bata akula sherusa. Rashi learns akula sherusa prusa gedayla. He cut a large piece shayadayla lechol asuda b'shabbos, that it was enough for the entire suuda of Shabbos. So what would emerge then is that Rav Ashi recounted that he saw Rav Chisda cutting from one bread, as well as Rabbi Zeira also cut a large piece of bread. The Rashba disagrees with Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Zeira. The Rashba appears by Asa Maseches Brachos, as well as the Beis Yosef in Simen Reish Ayin Dalid, quotes the position of the Rashba as well. And there the Beis Yosef quotes, "Va'rashba kasav aperikets mevarchin she'ena b'chuvah be'ena pirushet elahachi pirushet batza al kol akir karos hamenachem lefanav le'echol." The Rashba claims that when it says "akula sheirusa," it means not on one challah that he took a large piece, but rather he cut both challahs. The Rashba buttresses his point by saying that according to Rashi, the Gemara's Raya is hard to understand. And this argument of the Rashba is also accepted by the Gra, Lalacha, and mentioned, the actual argument is mentioned by the Gra as well. And that is, the Gemara after Rabbi Zeira says, Amar le Ravina le Rav Ashi, v'kamischazi kirav senusa. How can he do this? He looks like a hungry person who is devouring in an uncouth manner. Argues the Rashba, what's wrong? He cut a large piece that's normal for his suuda. The only reason one could add a mischazi karav senusa, if we're talking about Rabbi Zeira's case, is if we're going to say that he cut both challahs, so why do you need to cut so much? So the answer is that he's doing it l'kavod Shabbos, so then it's not considered karav senusa. But if it's just a large piece for that meal, that is not Merci, Krav Senus. This opinion is found in the Gra as well, because the Mechaber paskins like Rashi, like we had seen in Rav Zeira. Says the Mechaber in Siman Reish Ayin Dalet, Botzei al Shtei Kikaros, She'ochas Shteim B'yado, Botzei HaTachtona. He should hold the bread in both hands. Rav Nevenzal points out that the source of this we saw earlier in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Kuf Samach Zayin Siv Dalid, which states that when one makes a amotzi, one should hold the pas with all 10 fingers, which is based on a Yerushalmi, which Tosas quoted earlier on Daf Lamechet on the base. Either way, the Mechaber mentions it as well in Hilchos Shabbos, but Rav Nevenzal points out that it's not a halach in Hilchos Shabbos. It applies during the week. The Yerushalmi is based on the pasuk in Tehillim that says, L'chsi lechem in aretz, and mentions 10 of the amazing qualities that Kodesh Baruch Hu does to bring bread out of the ground. The Mechaber then says, she'ochesh shteim b'yadon u'balseya ha'tachtona, and he makes a bracha from the lower one. In other words, he eats from the lower one. This is a big discussion in the poskim. What about the rule Ein Marvirin al HaMitzvahs that the Taz discusses? Let's first discuss our topic, and that is, well, do you only break one, or do you break two? The Mechaber continues, Mivtza Livtzoa B'Shabbos Prusa Gedola Shetas B'Klo L'Kol Asuda. The mitzvah is to cut a large piece of bread that's enough for the whole Seuda. How did the Mechaber paskin? He paskin like the Shita Rashi on Daf Lamed Tes on the base. However, the Gra comes along and the Gra says that he thinks that the Mechaber is incorrect. Says the Gra, Ayim Magen Avram, Ve'ikir Kamo Shekasa Rashal V'Shala, Lachtoch Shnehem, Kipira Rajba Rav Haigon. The Rajba Rav Haigon makes sense. Akula Sherusa, it means to cut both of them. In other words, even though our Gemara had quoted a sheet that the quote that one should cut both of them, which was a simple reading of Rabbi Abba, at the end of the day, we went with the custom of Rabbi Zeira. The question is, what did Rabbi Zeira do? So that's a machlokas Rishonim, and that becomes a machlokas even halacha lemaisa. Those who follow the simple reading, the straightforward reading of the Shulchan Aruch, will only cut from one challah, which challah we will get to in a moment. However, those who follow the Gra understand the line in the Gemara that says Akula Sherusa means the entire pieces of loaves, and for that matter, to cut all of the loaves, it seems according to Rashba, if there were more than two loaves, then he would need to cut all of the loaves. And it's not considered Rav Sanusa, the Gemara asks. That looks like someone who's eating in a manner that's not polite. To which the Gemara says, no, it's obvious that it's covered shot. The Mishra Brura says that the Minhag HaOlam is to follow the lenient opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, V'Hal Olam Noagin KeHashulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, there are many who follow the Gra who will follow this position of the Rashba. The crux of this Machlokis seems to revolve around how we understand the words Lechem Mishnah. Is Lechem Mishnah in regards to the gathering together, the Lakita, and since you gather together two breads, that's enough? Or it's the breaking of the bread that it also requires Lechem Mishnah? That's the Mashmos in the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Dalet. Finally, the last issue that is left, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that one cuts one challah, which challah do you cut? So strikingly, the Mechaber says that you have two challahs, one sitting on top of each other, you cut the lower of the two challahs. Comes along the Taz and asks, Hayitachin? How could that possibly be? He quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach, what if the rule of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos? Hence the Bach says that it's a mistake and the bracha should be on the large, on the top one. However, the Taz says that his minhag is to follow the rules of the Shulchan Aruch and to say to eat from the bottom one and to cut from the bottom one. However, in terms of problems of Ema Virin Ala Mitzvos, so for that, the Taz says he leaves the bottom one sticking out. Many follow this custom of the Taz today, and therefore it is closest to him, and therefore one is not in violation of Ema Virin Ala Mitzvah. It has always been a mystery to me, both the opinion of the Mechaber that says to cut from the bottom challah, as well as the Ramah's qualification that al pi Kabbalah, it only applies during the evening, the night meal, to cut from the bottom, but during the day meal, to cut from the top. I guess it's a mystery because I do not know Kabbalah. I've looked around in some Svarim, and I haven't seen a coherent explanation for this difference in custom. But these are the different shittos of whether to cut both breads, some of the breads, or the top or the bottom.